Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Welcome to the Challenge Global Championships wrap-up podcast for episode 8. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ali. How are you?
Thriving. How are you?
I'm not feeling deathly ill, so that's a plus. Feels good outside of the challenge world, so good job. All the health is good.
If you were feeling not so great, would you step down so that I could have a better chance at podcasting with a healthier partner?
Yes. If like Jacob Jones wanted so desperately to stay in the podcast game, I would pull myself out so you and Jacob Jones could continue on the challenge podcasting journey without
me. You should mention Jacob Jones. I'm sitting here with his very expensive sunglasses at my kitchen table. I could like manifest him right now, probably, if I like lit a candle and or something.
Well, if you say his name one more time, it'll be like Beetlejuice and it'll just show up. So
it'll pop out of the glasses like a genie.
This was some exciting energy. Yeah, this was an interesting first like 10 minutes of the episode. I thought we were going to lose like half the teams, but we only lost one and then we merged another. So could have been a lot worse for how many teams were going to be left. But very, very sad to see everyone sick. And great news for Amber. It's sad for Ben and Tristan.
Yeah, we haven't really seen much of Amber this whole season. And then, you know, finally we get a little commotion, you know, like to quote the meme, that's like a little commotion for the dress, like a little commotion for Amber, where Troy is like, I'd take Amber at 80% over most of these people at 100, which I was like, go off. Finally, somebody's like validating what a good contender Amber is. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she ends up having to leave like not 10 minutes after he says that comment.
Right.
But I would say of like the three teams that were in peril, which were Ben and Casey, Tristan and Kellyanne, and Amber and Troy, I was trying to think a lot about like which of those pairs had the best chance to win and was getting sort of saboed by this, because Tristan and Kellyanne have a conversation about how they're in such a good position to win. And I was like, I don't know. Like, you might be three of three out of the three teams in likelihood to win.
Yeah, I would say my biggest disconnect was I did not view Troy the way everyone else views Troy. Troy in the challenge world here is like a superstar. They think he's like a great competitor, a major final threat, could do it all. That's not been my perception of Troy, or at least how the show's presented Troy. He seems like he's like, you know, decent in most things, but the way they were talking him up was very surprising, to say the least.
Oh, interesting. See, I find we have a lot of perception questions, because you tweeted something about the perception of Sarah that I can't wait to talk about. But I have a different response to that. I think Troy has been clearly like a physical contender, and maybe a lot of it is just how people talk about him, but I feel like that's been sort of established. He, to me, is not really a strategic threat. Mm-hmm. And between him and Amber, I think that sort of sidelined them from really being all around contenders in this season, because neither of them are really like advancing their status strategically.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think we, like, obviously there was a lot of confusion about where Amber was landing with a lot of the legends, that there was, she always was on the out. So I feel like maybe Troy could have helped mend some of those fences. But the way they were talking Troy's like physicality was just surprising.
Do you think Tristan's illness is going to like crop up again? Or are we sort of past that now that he gets through without a physical challenge or elimination in this stretch?
Yeah, I would think we're probably past it. The fact that he was, you know, moving around a little bit more. It doesn't seem like he was even hinted at again in the preview. I would guess we're past it. I was curious if we would get an actual update from with Ben, like what actually was wrong with him. I'm curious if they drop that update. But yeah, I would guess we're done with Tristan being sick as like a storyline going forward.
Yeah, and it wasn't clear to me until like Amber revealed her pregnancy to Troy. Like if Amber had the bug they had, or right. was, and like then she's like, I trusted my body. And so presumably like what she was feeling was, I guess, related to her pregnancy. But Ben was like next level ill, which like when you're an adult and you're sick like that, at least to me, it's always so debilitating. Like it is mm-hmm. hard to be an adult and get sick like that.
Yeah, especially for Ben, who prides himself on being like a provider, like an enforcer. He's like a big dude. He's obviously was in the military. He treats his body very seriously. So to see him just to be completely debilitated like that was very scary, to be honest. It was like the fact that something like this is taking him out. Like I didn't want this to be like a spreading thing. Like if they didn't mention it was COVID, I feel like if it was COVID, it would have had to shut things down. So it doesn't seem like it was something like that. It was just wild to see him just completely knocked out like that.
Yeah, and it was a nice moment seeing like Sarah at his bedside, which is like, mm-hmm. again, a really unique aspect of challenge casting, where you have these relationships outside of the game that could be totally not active inside the game. And, you know, if someone's sick and you're their friend outside the game, like that's going to trump.
Right. And I mean, look, it's not like neither of them have been doing horrible things to each other. They're playing a game, they're on opposite sides of it, they're not like being personally mean to each other, they've never done things in the past that like the other people would they would hate each other over. It's just they're on opposite sides of an alliance and voting and how the game is going. So it was good to see each of them, and especially Sarah here, be able to just, you know, realize we're all people and like just, you know, take care of him when he needed it.
And then as you previewed, when we get to the start of the challenge, we find out that Ben's been medically separated from the game. Casey's going to have to go home. And, you know, I believed it, obviously. Like, I thought this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Ben and Casey actually had the most win equity out of any of the three teams with a member who was ill. If they could get through sort of the strategic aspect, which they were, like, Ben's sort of alliance was working better than Casey's alliance. And I think they are a really strong overall team in both puzzles and physical ability. But then we have a very moving moment from Amber. I was really, really touched by this decision Amber made.
Yeah, it was very sweet. It's amazing kind of in the moment that she can do it. I would imagine she must have ran it by production also. I don't think she like just dropped this bomb on like the crew and everything at the time. I'm sure she was able to like talk it through with production, like the logistics of it all. But the fact that she was willing to do it and, you know, not try to like make herself feel better to last a couple extra weeks and then maybe feel she needs to leave at that point. So to kind of remove herself from the game to help someone that she's not even like that close with. It's not like she's doing this for like her best friend to like keep their chances alive was, you know, speaks a lot about who Amber was and or Amber is. And is another point in the I don't understand why everyone hates Amber column.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that it was like decided with production earlier. Like, that could definitely be true. It depends, I think, on you know, maybe that a speculative conversation, or if they actually find out that Ben's gone earlier than like the show is showing us. But and also I think if I didn't already know she was pregnant, which most viewers did because she revealed it at the reunion of the last Challenge Proper season, or I imagine most viewers would know that she was pregnant. Like I would have thought that like she was being too kind. Like she didn't seem as sick as Ben, and she was just like, I just don't feel 100%. So part of me, I think, was like, do you really need to be leaving? Maybe she thought she was pregnant because she ends up taking a pregnancy test before she leaves. She tells Troy, like, you're the only one who knows.
Yeah.
Here are the tests. So like there was definitely some speculation probably on her part that that might have been the circumstance. So no, it ends up being a really touching moment. And to your point about the hatred for her, that hasn't been a plot line this season. And part of me has wondered if this is a direct result of the cast having, like, when did the reunion film? The reunion filmed after this season or before?
That's a good question. I think the reunion was after this season filmed. I feel like this, I think we actually had this conversation during the reunion podcast. I think I looked it up that the reunion, I think this filmed like the end of the last year, like the November-ish December timeframe, and then the reunion for 38 was like in February-ish. So I think the reunion was after this season.
So then my question would be like,
which also makes sense because just thinking about like her pregnancy at the reunion,
like, oh duh,
was much further along. Yeah,
good point. So then the question is like, is that just not a part of the season because like the way the alliances are, she's with Troy, whatever. Or probably more likely, is the show being kinder in the edit after that conversation at the reunion?
Yeah, I don't know how if they would look to I mean, Amber. The thing with Amber though, she's never really gotten like a bad edit. It's just been like the cast talking bad about her. We've always said like, why if there's things that she's doing that's annoying or bad or pissing people off, like just show it in the show so we can like understand where everyone else is coming from. They pretty rarely would do that, and then we were just left with confused faces when everyone's like talking about how much they like don't like her. So again, it's the same thing. Just this time, the cast is not talking smack about her.
Well, no, kinder in the edit, meaning they're not showing like they're not pushing or airing relentless confessionals about how no one wants to work with her.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. There are people that were just talking shit about other people more. So like they had other fish to fry than Amber and Troy, that they weren't even like thinking about them that much to like talk shit about them.
Well, Michelle Marcy says, do you think Casey will be nicer to Amber and be more willing to work with her in future seasons after letting her take her spot in the competition if Amber returns?
Well, based off the de facto deal that Tori says, if Casey wins, you know, Casey owes Amber, you know, $250,000 worth of challenge equity that she has to start doling out starting next season. So she has to start definitely being nice if Casey goes on the win.
I will be vigilantly watching for this for the rest of the series. Like, Casey better not only be nicer to her, but Casey better look out for Amber. Mm-hmm. Like, that, you know, judging only of what we watch, like, is there a world where production was like, you've got to go, we know you're pregnant, and let's like make this moment because we can't lose two teams, and you know, we can't make it like half the time we mash up the cast and half we don't, like, you know, I don't know. Assuming it was the way that we saw it, Casey better protect her in the next season.
Absolutely. I would hope so. And I feel like Casey, that it would be the type of person to do that. She is not like diabolically evil. Or like, if anything, her game is protecting her close friends, you know, tooth and nail. So I could see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think Casey's game is making up convenient rules to suit what she wants to do. A la yes. Like, I'm loyal because I don't actually owe you because you had to leave anyway. And that like carry the one, like I'm on top of the moral argument, but we'll see. We'll see. Very touching moments between Amber and Troy. I wish we got to know this team better. Like you're saying, like Amber's presumably leaving for someone she's not that close with. But like, they're at least in the first 10 minutes, we get a lot of really sweet moments, including how Troy pronounces Amber's name. Amba.
Boston Rob style. Boston Robish. Yeah.
Shrimp on the Bobby with Amba.
Yeah, very sweet.
Cancel me. That was bad. Sorry to Shannon, Gus, and family.
I mean, I could never even. My worst skill set, I could say, is doing accents or speaking English. So definitely not going to try to do that.
Here's something that is nothing, but here we are. Hmm. Casey says, the question isn't nothing, but my loop in here, you'll see, is nothing. Casey says, when she thinks she's going to go home in a confessional, like, your partner is your partner for the whole game. So, like, if Ben's got to go, I'm going to have to go.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, thought that was interesting because I was like, that's, like, really not the norm. Like, that's actually not how the challenge usually works. But mm-hmm. I think we've speculated that that is how this season will work. Devin said, do we expect any format changes now that we're down to 7 pairs, partner switch-ups, or move into an individual game?
Yeah, I think we're going to ride this out. I feel like if this was, you know, challenge proper and we have to find a way to do 18 episodes, I feel like at some point, sure, we might see, like, them going back to their countries randomly for, like, a few week hiatus just to, like, have some fun. But if this is more of, like, the truncated, like, boom, 12, 13 episode season, we don't really have time to do other things outside of once it gets to the final. And honestly, usually when they have seasons that have a theme, I know in like the last few seasons of the challenge proper, they'd be doing all these partner switches and stuff like that and the format changes. But that was when the format was really just like nothing. It was like spies and like you could just partner switch whenever you want. Usually when you have a theme and a reason you're connected with your partner, you usually don't separate from that partner. So I would be surprised if they had them separate here.
Did they not separate briefly and ride or die? Did I just make that up?
Well, yeah, they went like to the teams, but then they brought them back together.
But
again, I don't think like if Ride or Dies was Paramount Plus and that was a 13 episode season, they wouldn't have done that because the intention was for no one really to go home from that team twist. It just so happened that, you know, Nelson and Norris just sucked at the same time. So they had to go home. But other than that, no one else went home for those like month.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I do think that. I agree with you. I don't think we're going to switch anything up. I think it would be interesting, even though the format is MVPs and legends working together. I think it could work on a fresh meet or something like this, where like, yeah, you're like working under the tutelage of your legend, but would you rather play your own game? And the MVPs are from their countries and the legends are all from the US except for Theo. Who are they loyal to? Have they built loyalty mm-hmm. to the UK alliance? No, they haven't. Or are they back to their sort of American legend status? So I do think like on a season like this, it could work. I just don't think it's going to happen this season.
Right.
And to your point, it usually doesn't.
Yeah. And I think they've done a really good job of like building storylines for these pairs that I think it would do a disservice to this season to split them up at this point.
And maybe it is just because like Danny and Tori's partnership is so toxic that they'd like, it would work if only because like, I think in a normal season, most pairs 8 episodes in would probably stay working together. Like Tristan right. and Kellyanne would stay working together. Like they have the same alliances. So why would yeah. they, unless you're going to mix it up, if it goes to individual, it will just be the pairs still working together as individuals, except for this mess between Danny and Tori, which I think is like unprecedented for a team.
Yeah. And the fact that they are such a mess is to me a point even more in the favor that they should force them to stick together. Right. Cause I don't want the precedent to be like, well, you just stick by your partner for at least a little bit of time and then don't worry. Cause you'll do it on your own at some point anyway. Like I want them like a future rivals or an exes. Like you have to work with your partner. You might not like them, but that's the point of the season. You have to find common ground and work together. I don't want them to have, you know, a built-in out that when it, you know, push comes to shove at the final, it doesn't really matter how, you know, what relationship you've mended at that point.
Well, apparently when push comes to shove, you could always vote for yourself, which I'm sure we'll do some screaming about later. But let's get to what I think used to be your favorite daily challenge, and maybe you've got a little wary of it as of late. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah. I mean, trivia was a big hit. I feel like when it burst onto the scene a long time ago at this point, because it was new. It was in the day and age when the challenge wasn't as serious with some of the competitions, right? It was a little more goofy. This version of it, I actually did like with like the rip cord style And like passing the baton to someone else. So I actually did like this one. And it was fun to have new people do trivia and to see actually how much smarter like non-American people are at like basic trivia was kind of fun to see. So of all the trivias, this was a little bit more fun than some of the more recent ones.
So it's interesting. I agree that the mechanism was fun. Like if all of them were up there at the same time, like it was interesting to see like, you know, Ben Han Jody get very unlucky and just pull the first one and drop versus people who were able to like stick it out through, you know, five different ripcord pulls. But Michelle Marshy, I think wages a good complaint here. I know you guys are already going to talk about it. I'm usually indifferent about the heats and the dailies, but wow, this one was egregious. In a trivia challenge where you get to sabotage a team, it's fine if there's like a men's heat and a women's heat. But three heats was terrible. Long to watch, and Jody and Benha really got screwed here. And in turn, the viewers got screwed now that we lost them for no reason. I know Ben and Amber went home, but come on, a heat with two teams, really? This doesn't seem like it bothered you.
No, it didn't, because it would have bothered me. Like the randomness of the ripcord would have bothered me if it was just the first team to lose is automatically in. I felt the pain of like doing basically five heats by the end of it. But I liked that there was like the second chance loser heat, where if you did have the bad luck to start, you can find a way to redeem it in the last heat. Now, it's hard to foresee like the 1 in 5 and 1 in 5 chance for Ben Han Jody that they're going to pull the wrong one both times. Like you could do this challenge a bunch of times. That's not going to happen again. So that's just unfortunate bad luck. But I like that they had the built-in, you know, second chance if you had bad luck in your first round.
Yeah, I think that a challenge like this where you're sabotaging other teams as a key component of the challenge, right? That's why this works. I think the story we're told is like this revealed this really tight relationship between Darrell and Kiki and Kellyanne and Tristan, like that potentially got them voted in. You know, like I think if the idea is to expose alliances, then you've got to have a way for all the teams to be up at one time. Now, what was interesting to me in the first heat, at least, is that it happened to all be Team Australia. And so then that was an interesting dynamic, although I'm surprised that Darrell opted to be loyal to Yes and Emily when it seems obvious, I think, the whole season that Emily is not super loyal to Kiki, whereas Troy is, and that, like, their fear of Casey's allegiance to America trumped their relationship with Troy, although flagging that Casey and Ben weren't working with the US. But anyway, I would have like, oh, that's cool if this could somehow be heats based on countries. And then I was like, and then Benha and Jody should just automatically advance to the winner's heat as the sole remaining team from Argentina. But no, that didn't happen. And I think like the sabotage isn't as effective if they're not choosing between all the teams.
Right. And this would have been another perfect example of a daily where you could have had the winners pick the heats. I think that would have been a lot of fun to see whoever it was that won last week at this point. But if they got to pick who were in the different pockets to see, like, who do you put with yourself? Who do you put as a threesome in another group? I would have loved to see that kind of decision making play out.
It's also interesting. I mean, it ends up like not mattering because Tristan and Kellyanne end up winning. So if Benhan Jody didn't get automatically sent in, they probably wouldn't have been voted in. But when there's one team left that's like the easy house vote, I was surprised that Benhan Jody got sabotaged so early, because you wouldn't want them to win, but you wouldn't want them to automatically go in, because then you're eligible to be voted in.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like, how much did you think for Casey and Troy, the fact that they were so easily targeted, do you think that it really was that they viewed them as a threat, or B, that they are like the new team? So it's almost the way they were talked about is like the new team felt like old school challenge, where it's like you have to earn your stripes almost coming in as like a new team. Like which one do you think played the bigger factor?
You know, it's interesting. I actually think it's more that Amber and Troy and Casey and Ben were being targeted anyway by the house. Like, and if Casey and Ben and Amber and Troy stayed in, it's very possible those would have been the two teams for the house vote.
To just merge the targets together.
So now it's like, yeah, they remain a target. Like, you kind of don't know where they lie. I don't really know. Like, I think Amber and Troy were just treated as like a bottom rung of the totem pole, like alliance member. And Casey is dangerous, I guess. Like, I didn't really buy that Casey's so dangerous because of her relationship with Tori. Well, then vote Tori.
Right.
So I think it's really just like they were the low hanging fruit.
Yeah, it is funny because Casey won her season with like a last second pairing with CT, and this is like a last second pairing again. So maybe this will last second pairing for Casey plays out pretty well.
Also, I have to think whoever you're voting in here, you know, is very likely to win against Benha and Jody. Not that they're right. not a good team, but like they don't have good team chemistry. They don't have good communication. Yeah. And physically, like they're strong, but compared to like the rest of the field, they're probably one of the weaker teams left. Yeah. So like it's sort of 6-1 at this point who you're voting in because they're 99% going to come back.
Yeah, especially because I feel like a lot of the eliminations, they really haven't just been pure physical. There've been a lot of built-in puzzle communication, strategy type things that definitely wouldn't necessarily play to their strong suit.
Although I should flag, oh, you know what? This is why I think I know Troy's a physical beast. Remember I told you he had that elimination against like a Dunbar-sized guy in like a pole wrestle and won for like absolutely no reason except just like sheer physical ability in a small package.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Watch that. Okay. Watch that clip. Okay. It's really amazing. It's something to see on his season of the challenge.
There you go.
All right. Let's get to the votes because I want to have that conversation about Sarah. Well, let me just ask you this because you tweeted, and I'm paraphrasing, so please tell me I'm wrong here, that basically Sarah has such a different fan perception between her, the fan perception of her on the challenge and the fan perception of her on Survivor is very, very different. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That's very interesting to me. Can you explain what you think the audience perception of her on both shows is?
So I think the Survivor audience doesn't like Sarah at all. I think they're tired of her. They find her bland and boring. And they like when she popped up on the last season of Challenge USA, the immediate reaction is, why is Sarah here? We don't need more Sarah. This is a waste. Like, get her out of here. And then two seasons in, I think if you just don't have that perception of her, I think she's been probably the breakout star of all like the last season challenge people that have made the jump here. Like, she's been incredible. The way she's going at Tori has been a lot of fun. I think she's been a very compelling character on the challenge and has been someone that I would actively want to see on seasons moving forward, that she tries to put the game in her own hands. She gets a little messy. She gets a little sloppy, but she tries to make active game decision moves. And it's been a lot of fun watching her. I feel like her personality is even coming through more on the challenge than it ever did on Survivor.
So I have the memory of a goldfish. So I might say things about what I perceived her on Survivor and they could be totally wrong. So that's my right. I feel like my perception of her from both shows is largely the same. I agree that maybe we're seeing more personality, although I find her to be quite stone cold on both seasons of the challenge. Like, she's not cutting up in confessionals.
No, but like, she's not like a funny. Yeah, she's not going to go on tour for stand up for sure. But
she's very, very intense. And I think she had the same sort of intensity and focus. And I need to see three moves ahead. I need to know the path. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what made her a good Survivor player. And that's what makes her a good challenge strategist, I guess, because I don't think her moves have really had success, but she remains there with her number one ally. So I can't knock it. I think like the perception of, I'm surprised to hear you say that she was like the breakout star of the first season. Cause I feel like she got a lot of like, Sarah's crazy edit. Like, I'm going to like take your brains and eat it. Like, she didn't say that, CT did, but yeah. Like in the elimination and the grunting and the MMA, and people were like, she's, you know, Tyson's going to confessionals being like, Sarah's insane. I don't know that she was like liked by the viewers or like a fun character. I agree with you completely, and I feel this way about her on Survivor and the challenge, that she is a very skilled competitor physically and mentally, and definitely has like a place on a show like this for that reason. But I don't know that she's like winning anyone over on the challenge that she isn't winning over on Survivor.
Well, it's funny. So the reaction to the tweet, I feel like it was almost split evenly into completely three buckets, where I had a lot of people being like, no, she sucks. I hated her on the Survivor and I hate her on the challenge. I had a few that were like, no, I actually loved her on Survivor and I love her even more on the challenge. And then there was the few that I think were more what I was trying to say was actually that I hated her on the on Survivor and now I love her on the challenge. It was like pretty evenly split amongst those three. So it was funny to see there was no like completely agreeing, completely disagreeing or a mix. I had like everyone from each camp kind of coming all from all three sides.
I didn't really know. The reason I asked you this here is I didn't know what you meant. Like, I didn't know if you thought she was likable on Survivor or liked on Survivor and not liked here or vice versa. Because I just like, I remember liking her. I'm trying to think about it. Because she had like this great friendship with Zeke. And then during that whole like Varner of it all, which you don't need to talk about. Like,
right.
And she comes from this like conservative state, like where is she from? Like Iowa or something. That's where Ben's from. She's so. Like, and she's like, wow, like I've never met anyone like this. And like Zeke and I are close or whatever. Like, I think she has like a good moment on that part of the show. She's like incredible working with Tony again. Like that's all these like fun antics. So I don't recall Sarah being disliked on the show Survivor, except for her like political views that like, you know, bleed into how people right. feel about people, and that's totally right. fair.
Right.
So I would say I'm sort of nooch on her on both. Like she's a good player though. Like she has talent.
Yeah, so we got the fourth camp, just nooch on each side of it. There we go.
But the reason I'm bringing it up here is I imagine this is where you were getting like spirited. A lot of the audience I think felt this mm-hmm. way about when she Kyle says, please talk about Sarah dragging Tori for being torn on voting for Casey. Or comment about how this is a game you keep signing up for gave me life.
Yes, that felt like a very meta comment where it's like, you keep doing this show. Like, what do you think the show is? Stop like playing it up for the camera. Like, just make a vote. Like, that felt like a very meta attack from Casey to Tori.
When Danny and Tori vote for themselves in the first round,
mm-hmm.
I had such a severe reaction to this. Like, it shocked me. I was like, if you are going to vote for yourself, like if I were sitting at that table and I watched a very talented athlete, Survivor player and challenge US winner and Tori, who is, you know, a challenge legend and champion, sit there and cast a vote for themselves because they can't work it out between the two of their teams about what their goals are and what's in their best interest as a team, I would immediately say, then you need to go in and everybody should change their vote. I don't care if yeah. you're my closest ally. If I were Casey, I would vote for you. Like if you can only vote for yourself, then you should automatically go in.
Yeah. And I feel like that sentiment is coming. I feel like I think Theo last week brought it up about how they're basically useless allies. If your ally is not going to vote with you to, you know, form the attack on someone else and they're just like, they're arguing with each other. Like what ally is that? How are they helping you? So you might as well just like cut your losses and put them in. I feel like we had that similar comment come up at this nomination. If you're like, if you're not going to vote with your alliance and group, like what help are you for that alliance and group? So I'm waiting for everyone just to kind of turn on them, especially because they also are a very dangerous team. If you just like be like, oh, whatever. They're just like this bickering team and, no war, they're not no chance to win. But I think if you let them get to a final, they are very dangerous. Then they can just win the whole final. So you might as well just like go at them while they're bickering at each other.
Yeah, and I thought Sarah's line was, you know, tough but fair. A little bit unfair because like Sarah also wouldn't vote for Danny, and she probably wouldn't vote for Emily. So like, let's not pretend like there aren't that Tori is the only person who wants to protect the people she's working with. I think we talked about this before, but where Tori has failed completely is she thought she'd have like a Wes or Bananas walk to the final with her partner, that the partner would just listen to everything she said. And that she's like and like that, it's a fair expectation. Like you're a legend. He picked you early on. Like he respects mm-hmm. you, but she is leading with the emotions of it. She is saying, that's my friend. I can't vote for her. She has never once explained to Danny why working with her allies will benefit him. Like, it's not that I don't want to vote for my friend. It's I don't want to vote for my friend who will never vote us in. And it's the time to have that conversation is obviously not at the voting table. But like, I think she never pitched her alliances to him in a way that made him convinced it would benefit him.
Yep. And then we also had the other element that Danny tweeted that I couldn't tell if it was like a joke or if this is actually what was said. Did you see what he tweeted that the conversations that him and Tori actually had at the nomination?
No, I did not.
So I don't know if this is like him joking or this is actually what happened, but this is what on Twitter Danny said. He said, how it really went. Danny to Tori, we have to vote for Casey. She voted for us. Tori, Casey gave me $50,000. I can't do that. Danny, I got $50,000 for you right here. Get my wallet for me. And Tori said, let's just vote for us.
I mean, again, you're making it because you think you owe her something or you have a friendship with her. You're making an emotional play. She failed from the beginning to get Danny on board with her alliances for his own benefit. And I think this is the first time where Danny's right. Not the first time, but like where mm-hmm. I really see his position clearly of Casey isn't going to protect Tori in the same way that Tori is going to protect him, because I guess the motivations are different. It's not the friendship. It's based on the 50 grand. Right. And didn't Tori give that money back to Casey? Did Casey not make the final? No, Casey didn't make the final.
No, she didn't. Yeah. But I mean, like, this is
get over it. That was two seasons ago.
But this is something we talked about, right? Like, this is the danger when you start allowing the cast just to dole out money. Like, this is why in Survivor, it was like probably one of the first rules they wrote was like, you can't share the prize money. Like, that's the number one thing in these types of games, these types of shows. You have to have some integrity of the winner wins the money. No one else can win like the money. You could have other prizes, but like the winner gets their money. And once you start allowing the winner to start giving their friends the money, it calls into question the entire integrity of the game, especially on a show like The Challenge, where the people come back season after season after season, and they can just keep sharing the pool of money with everyone, regardless of how they do. And I think that is like the very dangerous line that this show is playing, the show is walking, when they start allowing the players to just give out the money as they please.
Do you think, though, that like anybody's playing? Like, if Casey gives Tori $50,000 and Tori screws her over in the next season, I don't think, honestly, at this point, I don't think Casey would feel screwed over. I think she would be able to understand, like, I have to start working with my partner and we can't keep voting for ourselves. Like, I have mm-hmm. no say, talk to Danny kind of thing. But, like, okay, if Casey doesn't feel paid back by Tori and then Casey wins another season, do you think we'll ever get to the point where the splitting of the money won't be totally equal? And instead of saying to everyone, we're going to give 50 grand or second and third, we're going to give this, it's like, well, Bananas, you had my back this season, so I'll give you 50 grand. Tori, you mm-hmm. fucked me over last season, so I'm not giving you anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want that to like be a thing. Like, I just,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
I don't know.
You don't want people playing for second and third place gifted money.
Right.
In future seasons, like no. That is a mess.
No, that is a big time mess. And I think just like the frustration is like, I understand like you're playing these games. You want to win. You obviously you have friends there. I'm sure you want to try to help them win, but you're also like on a TV show. And it's just like, I love seeing someone like Danny and Sarah be like, this is like a good, like, this is a fun, entertaining move. This is a game move. This is like, I'm trying to mix things up. Like, I'm not just going to go along with what Sarah wants to do or what Tori wants to do just to go along with it. Like, I want to see people mix things up and like get and, you know, cause a little chaos. And it's just frustrating that Tori's game is just pure, like, complete loyalty to people and not willing to do anything that shakes the card a little bit.
Well, what's the path forward here? Nerys says, is Tori more likely to vote for Jordan or Casey, even though it seems they would both vote for Tori if it meant winning, or quit the show and force Danny to leave with her? Or I'll add a third option of like, where can Danny and Tori go from here?
I think the best thing that can happen to them is them actually getting thrown into an elimination and forcing them to have a gut check moment of working together. And then if you have that pressure cooker situation and you come out of it like winning, I feel like that's a bonding moment. And then they can start to work together and be like, you know what, screw everyone. Let's just go win it for each other. And I think that's what they need, is they need to be threatened to be eliminated and come out of it with a win.
It's also like such an interesting dynamic, because even new players, like even on a fresh meet, on like a challenge proper, everybody, you know, wants to win. But a lot of people are understandably playing to come back and playing right. for future invites and to become a staple. And it's less important really to win the money in your first season than it is to like create enough drama or earn enough fans to be continue to come back. And here it's like Danny's not, I would guess Danny is not playing to become a career challenge contestant forever. Danny legitimately, now whether that's true or not, or he's just like a Fessel who's like always wanting to win as much as he wants to come back, but like their goals are so different. And usually we don't see that in a pair.
Right. No, it is pretty rare. And I think it's just, and I think that's, you know, a pretty rare thing that we're seeing with these modern day challenge people is not only are they coming back on multiple challenge proper seasons, but the fact that there's now so many iterations of the show, like there's now theoretically three different versions of the challenge that Tori could play on in a given year. And even if she doesn't on All-Star, she could be two out of three seasons that she's going to be on in 12 months playing with the same people. So it does create that incentive of playing it safe over and over again and not looking to screw over people and doing all this stuff. Whereas Danny, and we're seeing with Sarah too, and a few others, like, it is the old school mantra of like, I only really have one chance. Maybe I have one more after this. I'm going to make the most of it. And we just don't see that from these newer challenge vets.
I really do hope, and this is a totally random thought, but since we're talking about how many opportunities Tori will have to play, so I really do hope that these back-to-back seasons pulling from the same pool doesn't lead to more injury and like illness. Because like, you know, you need time to rest and recover and continue to train and eat better and sleep better between like, and like these people just like showing up, you know, back to back to back seasons, I think could like have more of a physical toll than I'd like to have happen.
It's kind of like wrestling. Like wrestlers would have like no off season. They're on like doing shows like four nights a week. They're, soon the challenge is going to start doing like one day events. They're going to go town to town. Like the challenge people are here in New York. Come see them do like a elimination at a deli in your local hometown. Like that's probably where we're headed.
Would we go to that? I feel like we'd have to go.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would definitely go to that.
But all right. So what ends up happening is Darrell and Kiki go in there or not go in, but they're the first vote. Mm-hmm. And then there's a revote to determine the next nominated team. Kaylin G says, do you think production or the challengers came up with voting again for the second team if it's a tie?
I think the Survivor people came up with it. They're like, why? Well, let's just revote. That's what we do on our show. Just do a revote.
Yeah, I mean, it's an obvious solution.
Yeah.
We're going to deadlock on the first one. And I think, like, they were only deadlocked on that last vote because Tori and Danny were like, we will not change our vote, and therefore, like, we are deadlocked versus, like, a quick revote where only two teams are an option.
Mm-hmm. I like that it was very Big Brother. Like, all right, we are now tied, or we have one team voted in. Everyone else is tied, so we're all going to revote. They were really spelling out, like professionals, like, what exactly is happening.
So Troy and Casey end up getting the most votes on the revote and they end up being voted in, which I was like pretty sure based on the relationship between Tristan and Kellyanne, like that sort of gets projected during the challenge that Darrell, Kellyanne, Kiki and Tristan are working together. So great that you voted them in, but now whoever's the second team is definitely going to get nominated go into the elimination. Yeah.
But they're only voted in because Troy basically accepts his fate, right? Like they could have voted for Danny and Tori. I think it was in the first round, but like they could have pushed them over the edge to be the vote. But they just like said, it's okay. You could vote for us. Like it was very odd to see Troy and Casey like sacrifice themselves. Like we have Tori trying to sacrifice herself and Troy and Casey like one-upping her sacrifice of sacrificing themselves.
If I'm being honest, I stopped trying to keep track of the votes because it's so confused and annoying to me. But is that true? Now I'm going to Wikipedia. God bless Wikipedia. So is that true that there were enough votes for Tori and Danny to go in?
Yeah, I think if Troy and Casey voted for Tori and Danny, the Tori and Danny would have been the ones to go in.
But they burned on themselves. Like, I guess, but that's a really shitty move to have Danny and Tori burn on themselves rather than vote you in, and then you capitalize on that to vote them in.
I mean, it's a game for $500,000. If they're going to be stupid enough to vote for themselves, jump on that.
I think if that kind of thing happens, you lose trust move. Like, that's something that you justifiably should not be trust. Like, that should impact your reputation in the next few challenges. Like, I think that's such a scummy move that, like, they know in theory that, I don't know, first of all, could Danny and Tori be like, well, then we change our vote to you? Like, I just don't feel like that was, like, a real option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a little, it gave me a little PTSD of, like, the Red Skull twist where you have people voting for them or themselves and not trying to save themselves. Like, I don't want to see people not wanting to save themselves for any sort of reason. And it was a little frustrating to see two different teams kind of doing that.
Hold on. Now I'm looking at, I agree. No, I think them voting for themselves should automatically make them go in. Yeah. But I don't think Casey and Troy really had a leg to stand on. But wait, sorry to be so annoying here, but Danny voted for Danny and Tori, LOL. Mm-hmm. Emily voted for Danny and Tori, and Kiki voted for Danny and Tori. The other votes were Kaz and Sarah. I'm just doing it based on the one team member, but it's the whole team, obviously. Kaz and Sarah voted for Casey and Troy. And Troy voted for Jordan and Kaz? That doesn't... Whatever. I don't care.
So, like, on the revote, it was... It came down to... It was, like, 3-2-1 of Danny and Tori at three votes, Casey... And Troy, or did Casey and Troy had three votes, Danny and Tori had two votes, and then Troy could have tied it up, but then just like burned his vote. And like that allowed him to go in.
This is saying that Emily and Yes and Sarah and Theo voted for Casey and Troy on the revote. And the other teams voted for Danny and Tori. That must be wrong.
Yeah, on the Wikipedia, that looks wrong.
Take back what I said about Wikipedia, both on this episode and on New Girl Old Guy. I said Wikipedia was great. Whatever. See, this is why I can't keep track of the voting anymore. I'm just like, it's too complicated. It's not my fault. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this with a freaking notebook. And if I can't keep track of it, then something's wrong. It's too complicated.
Two teams being voted for, multiple rounds of voting. This is very chaotic. Don't give Survivor any ideas.
But all right, Troy and Casey go into an elimination. And sort of, what was the elimination where like the person couldn't get their team member up to even start the challenge?
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
Tommy and Sis.
Yeah, poor Tommy.
All right. It was slightly giving that. It was hard getting back to that.
And it was also giving similar vibes to the one that Nelson lost, where he couldn't figure out how to launch his partner. That was like earlier this season. Yeah, not ideal. Ben on Jody with not the best of showing in this spin me round elimination.
Yeah, no, definitely a communication breakdown. Neil K says this is really a post episode. Oh, sorry. So Ben and Jody lose, they go home. Neil K says this is really a post episode 7 observation I thought of after the podcast, but let's see if it's true for episode 8. Spoiler, it is. Nearly half the team's gone and none of the global champions have been eliminated. Who is most and least likely to finish the season with back-to-back wins?
Oh, so all the people that won, like the U.S., like those versions have not been eliminated. Oh, that's interesting.
Benhan, Jody, no, the winners of Argentina weren't on this
team. Right. Yeah, and they weren't even on it. Oh, that's really interesting. I guess, yeah, champions thrive. How about that? who's mostly, I mean, this is kind of just asking who's like most lucky to win the season, basically, at this point.
Although one of the Australia, Emily didn't win. So if you think Yes and Emily are going to win, then it won't be back-to-back.
Yeah, I feel like that would probably be my pick right now. I feel like they
Yes have
like,
and Emily?
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like they have like good contrasting skill sets. And I mean, we've seen Yes already win like a Paramount Plus version of a final. So I think we could see them doing it.
So who's left? It's Danny and Tori, Yes and Emily, Kaz and Jordan. I don't think, I'll just take a quick look. I do not think Danny and Tori will be able to come out of the season winners. Good for them if they do, which is crazy because I probably said they were most likely to win when teams got matched up.
Right.
Sarah and Theo, I just don't see it for them this season, honestly. I don't feel like they've been strong enough competitors to make it work. I am probably rooting for Kiki and Darrell. I think they are the most fun. Tristan and Kellyanne, I don't think could get the puzzles done. No. So I think they're out. I would say, yeah, maybe it's between Troy and Casey if they can survive long enough to make the final. And yes, and Emily aren't looking so bad now that I've run down the rest.
There you go. Look at that. You poo-pooed it, and now it's unpoo-pooed.
Well, it seems great. Like, again, if we started the season and you said, yes, and Emily, you're going to win, I'd be like,
right.
I don't know that I see that. But they seem to be in a good position, although, you know, now Kiki has her sights set on Emily, so we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're getting out to it. Seven teams left, so we're hopefully, let's keep everyone healthy. No more no more eliminations, no more sickness. We devastating to lose
the year. Here and in the world.
Yes, all around. All around. Everyone stay healthy. Yeah. I think that's it. Anything else from this one?
No, just shout out to some five-star reviewers, Belka _D and P listener 86. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's it. You can subscribe. robinswebsite.com/challengefeed. And follow me on Twitter and TikTok. I brought back a TikTok. Got one.
Loved
back
it.
At @ColinBryan_. They can follow you.
Can follow me at Last Tweets. And after a long hiatus, NGOG is back this week. Episode dropped today. So check that out. I'm used to saying anchor.fm/newgirlOldGuy, which I think will still probably work. But now it's podcasters Spotify. So let's see. The link is Google New Girl Old Guy, or search it on whatever your podcast catcher of choice is.
And New Girl's on Peacock now too. I thought it was just Hulu, but I got an email from Peacock being like, yeah, New Girl's there also. That's fun.
Yeah. I was like, did you send this or Akiva sent it to me? Because spoiler alert for the podcast, I complained about how Hulu did not recommend New Girl to me, which I found shocking based on my watch history.
Very rude. I'll tell you what, that's like a good sign about data privacy. If the fact that like you sign up to Hulu and they don't know that you watch New Girl, that's a good sign for firewalls.
No, I mean, I want the algorithm of right. stuff I watched on Hulu to serve me up content that I would enjoy. And if I watch The Mindy Project and How I Met Your Father and Younger all on Hulu, how do they not think I would want to watch New Girl now that they have it? If not me, then who?
And you would think that would be like front and center of like their homepage, right? The fact that they just got it, they would be promoting it.
You would think that, Brian, wouldn't you? You'd be wrong.
I would be. At least I'm not trying to do a reunion live, so they got that going for themselves. All right.
Oh, also, I'm going to be this week talking about Survivor, this week's Survivor episode with Rob. Rob is a podcast. No. Whatever. The same network talking about Survivor. Great season so far, so check that out.
Next week. Perfect. We will be back next week for episode 9. Until then, have a good one.